If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to The Front Three, the new-ish football podcast from me, Adam Boltwood, the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
What are you going to say when it's not new?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Fresh.
And
fresh,
there you go.
Vibe.
There he is, the stat man himself, Dave O'Brien.
Hello, good evening, good morning, or good night.
Depending on when you're listening, I like that. So on this week's show, we're going to be talking about whether Real Madrid were right to sack Carlo Ancelotti. Plus, we've got transfer news, we're answering your questions. And as always, we've got the talking points to round off the show. But first up, as always, thank you for listening to The Front Three. Got to say, we really appreciate all the support we're getting on Twitter and social media. So you get any nice messages, Lawrence, on Twitter?
Every week, just people coming along and interacting.
Fantastic.
People being nice, thanks for coming.
Do you have to say that if you are listening on iTunes, please do us a quick favour and rate the podcast. And if you're feeling particularly generous, you could even write us a little review.
Has anyone written a review?
Yes. Speaking of people who have written a little review,
here comes 5 minutes where you'll never get your life back. Come on.
Easy Squirty Cheese said, top football banter. Thank you very much.
Great.
Todders97.
That would make me unsubscribe or not want to subscribe at all. Go on.
Todders97 said, look forward to the pod every week.
That's good.
Yeah. That's very nice.
Pop culture.
Some people say they structure their week around it.
Pop culture said, in-depth analysis and full of Northern Daves.
There's only one. Fantastic.
And Ad Youngie said, this is my favourite podcast going. So thank you very much to all you guys who've written reviews and rated.
If you do listen to another podcast, what do you listen to? Do you listen to other? You were saying
you're talking to me.
We were sitting on the roof of your work.
You're talking
tonight.
To me, right?
Yeah,
now. You're asking.
Yeah, what do you listen to?
Oh, there's a podcast called Second Captains, which is kind of Irish Times Irish because my girlfriend's Irish, so I have to listen to Irish stuff.
Really?
Yes.
I like a bit of a football ramble.
Oh, Dave, don't knock it.
Until you've tried it. Bit of football ramble.
I like the football ramble as well.
Yeah, I do like the football
ramble. I love Football Weekly. And I used to love a football report. Does anyone else used to listen to a football
report? No, I didn't. No.
Don't know if it's still around, but it was great when it was around.
So, right, on with the show. We're going to do an end of the season review after the Champions League final. But right now, the big news in the aftermath of all the European leagues wrapping up is Real Madrid's decision to sack Carlo Ancelotti.
Big news.
So, despite winning La Decima last season and the Super Cup and the Club World Cup this season, it seems the failure to win the league has cost him his job.
He's not won the league many times in his career, you know. Only three.
A possible 18 seasons. So he's not the best when it comes to league management. I think that comes down to him, you know, being a cup manager. That's what he is.
He has won three leagues, Dave.
He's won three Champions League, which is only matched by Sir Bob Paisley. Is it Sir Bob Paisley?
Sir Bob Paisley, yeah.
Which is an absolute outstanding record. But I think it's a little bit unfair considering the dominance Real Madrid have had with Barcelona in La Liga and Atletico, obviously.
Who did he win the league with? AC?
AC.
PSG.
PSG.
And
Real Madrid.
Chelsea.
He
did not. He's not won it.
He's not won it at Real Madrid. Obviously.
That's why he's got sacked.
And Chelsea, of course. That's success in itself, isn't it? I mean, to win it in three separate countries.
Yeah, but over 20 years as a manager, you'd argue that.
Yeah, but the phrase to throw enough shit at a wall doesn't seem to apply to Carlo Ancelotti, does it?
So, but do you think they're right to sack him then, Lawrence?
No, I mean, if you take anything short term enough, then you'll be able to say, well, it was terrible, wasn't it? He took them on a great Champions League run. The difference is who they're replacing with, right? And it's what their vision is for the club. And I think, you know, the vision from Carlo Ancelotti was to play sometimes football that, you know, wasn't maybe that maximising what they had in the side. He didn't always manage to maximise it, which confused me because I thought if anyone could have done it, it would be Carlo Ancelotti.
Well, he got the best out of them, didn't he? When Mourinho was at Real Madrid, they were a bit bitty and, you know, they were a bit horrible, and the media didn't like them in Spain. They were against Barcelona, they're very foul and that type of thing. Carlo Ancelotti came in, played a more possession style last season, which worked really well. Obviously, did win La Decima last year, which is an absolutely brilliant achievement. But I think you've got to potentially you've got to blame some of the players for not performing at the same level as they did last season. Some of the signings, I think you've got to blame that are obviously out of Ancelotti's hands. You know, the likes of Di Maria going and Alonso going, and the signings of James.
Yeah.
Potentially, you know, Antoni Kroos. They've replaced players with the wrong players in a way.
Well, when you say the wrong players, do you mean? I mean, this is partly it, isn't it? Is we're looking at it on a timeline of saying, first of all, you know, Carlo Ancelotti, what he did in that time. Also, we're imagining, you know, did Carlo decide to sign those players, or was he told, look, these are the guys we're going to sign. That's what you're going to play with. This is what we want to play. We think you're the most. We think you're the best guy to try and get that result.
Well, isn't
and
it?
Evaluating him from that, then you think, well, you know, you haven't done terribly, but you still haven't won the league with a war chest which is massive. But then you think. Well, if someone else is equipping, it's put it this way, it's like playing COD, right? But someone goes, right, you're going to have a FAMAS instead of a...
Mate, you just lost me completely.
Okay, but there's going to be a lot of people. Like, you've got one rifle when actually you want another one. And what I'm saying is Carlo Ancelotti maybe wanted a different kind of rifle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at his AC Milan midfield, you look at his PSG midfield, you look at his Chelsea midfield, very different to the midfields that he's got at this season's Real Madrid. And so his structures that he's had before have been quite different. And maybe that's why we're seeing a different result here.
Well, yeah, I think the problem is that, like you're saying, Carlo Ancelotti does not control the transfer policy. There is no strategy in terms of playing style for the club.
Yeah. Well, no, there is.
What's the playing style of Real Madrid?
Well, it's very openly aggressive. It's one that's it's a Galactico playing style.
It's an attacking style, and that's what it is.
I think what they want is they want attacking, but they also want it to be incredibly aggressive football. And I think, you know, that's why Ronaldo is such a great player. It's because I don't mean aggressive in the sense of... Well, I mean, I do mean aggressive if you look at Pepe. But, I mean... On Football Daily the other day, I compared Ronaldo to Michael Jordan and the product and the brand that they were building.
Right.
And what my point there was you know, that kind of football or that kind of tenacity is exactly the kind of thing Real Madrid want. They want it to look effort. But basically, Real Madrid's a swan.
Yeah.
And they want to be gliding on the surface, but they're working so incredibly hard. And that's why Higuain didn't fit in at the club. And that's why certain players have to go, because they don't fit the ideology that Real have got.
What you're saying to me is what I'm saying is it speaks to the wider problem. So what I want to know is,
but it's not a wider problem.
No, well, you'd say the wider problem is that
not for them.
Like they had Angel Di Maria last year, Xabi Alonso. These players were sold. The balance of the squad was put off kilter. Bringing in James Rodriguez, like you're saying,
yeah,
these were all Florentino Perez, the club's president, signings. He didn't. Ancelotti, I assume, had some input.
Yeah,
but the common perception is that he's the guy who controls the transfers, Perez, and he sort of dictates the policy. So do you think it's unfair for Ancelotti to have been sacked in light of the fact that the players have been sold from under him?
Nothing to do with
fair or
unfair. He's not been sacked. I imagine that this would have been... I mean,
he was sacked.
No, yeah, but he was sacked. But the point is that, you know, I mean, is that down to a gentleman? We can say sacked.
Do you think it was the right decision?
He was let go.
Do you think it was the right decision?
In their eyes, it will be.
No, in your eyes, is it the right decision to sack Carlo Ancelotti?
I don't know who they're going to replace him with.
That's the problem. I think
that's the problem.
Rafael Benitez is going to replace him.
Okay, so in that case,
so
no, I think they were wrong to move on from Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah, right.
Because I think in years to come, Rafa maybe... Actually, no, you know what? No, I think it's just the wrong decision. But we'll evaluate Rafa in a minute.
Yeah, 100%. I think what Ancelotti gets away with a lot is his world-class players that are under him at that time. You know, the likes of Kaká at AC Milan, Ronaldo at Real Madrid, Drogba at Chelsea... Zlatan Ibrahimovic at PSG. It seems like he can't tweak it when it's not going right. Like, he's brilliant when the side's like got confidence and they're playing really nice football like they were last season. They were breaking brilliantly. But it's when the changes have got to be made and the tactical little tweaks that have got to be made. For example, the game against Juventus, you know, the amount of times Real Madrid crossed from deep positions, it was ridiculous. There was nothing else. There was no, we're going to go sort of a 4-2-4, we're going to change up the system, we're going to change to a dime. And, you know, there's so many different things that he could have done in that game and he didn't do anything. The system was the same at the start as at the end.
But it's that refusal to move, isn't it, Dave, that maybe drew Real Madrid in, because they want a manager who's going to build a force and not just someone who goes, right, what are these guys doing here? They just go, we've gone through you, we've gone through you.
But that doesn't work. That's the thing. And with the emergence of Atletico Madrid last season, they absolutely did Madrid playing a defensive style. You know, in the league, we saw over 38 games that Madrid couldn't keep up that consistency, and then Atletico could keep up the consistency. Madrid sort of put their foot off the pedal in the league in February. They just gave up. And that's why they did so well in the Champions League, because they were fresh. Because they just didn't give, you know, they're playing the likes of Cordoba or, you know, no disrespect Granada. For those clubs or Granada, but they aren't up to the standard of, you know, of the Champions League people like you this season, Juventus.
I mean, no, those teams just aren't up to the standard of the overall Premier League, I think. And I think that's part of the point, is that, you know, players are probably going to score a lot of goals against teams that represent somewhat of a semi-pro level in England at some point. That's maybe disrespectful to pros, and maybe, you know, I don't watch enough La Liga to be able to evaluate them fully, but that's from what I'm going on. Do you want to talk Rafa?
No, I don't. Not yet.
All right, wicked.
Don't want to talk
because
about
it does lead perfectly on, though.
No, but what I wanted to, I just want to talk a little bit about the structure of the club. So they're bringing in another coach. So on average, a Madrid coach lasts just a year and 4 months. That's all they last.
Not long. You've got to get some big ideas in quickly.
Swans die quickly. Swans die quickly. So he outlasted most coaches.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mourinho was the longest serving coach of the last sort of 20 years. He was 3 years, Mourinho.
Well, that's the interesting side. I mean, that's a Mourinho life cycle, essentially.
Yeah, of course. But how much of a problem do you think Florentino Perez is at the
club? I think you're looking at it from the wrong angle.
Do you not think? Do you think?
Well,
so?
No. I guess that's the point. It's from the outside.
But what I'm trying to... Real Madrid have won one title in the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Okay. What is, for Real Madrid,
dominant
from the
Barcelona
president,
side.
Do you have any... Yeah, of course.
They've driven other teams close, let's put it that way. I mean, they've driven
what is success and what is failure for Real Madrid? So last year, they won the Decima, finally. They won the European League. This season, they're 2 points off the league, knocked down the semi-finals. There doesn't seem to be a message of what is success for Real Madrid.
But with that, though, you could say Ancelotti bailed himself out by winning La Decima. Like by winning
he
bailed
himself out. He won La Decima. That's not bailing himself out.
But he
that's
bailed himself out domestically in terms of his La Liga performance and his, you know, King's Cup performance, both not good enough. Again, Ancelotti, going back to this whole league versus cup mentality for Ancelotti, he needs to, if he could improve as a manager, that's what he needs to definitely improve. And I think his, obviously bringing him in and whatever, is to win that trophy. So kind of maybe cutting him off in this second season is a little bit unfair. You'd think that he's won the Champions League, probably the greatest achievement you could do in world football at the moment. And he took them far this year. They got to the semi-final. They got beat by a very, very good Juventus team. Which,
narrowly.
Very narrowly. And it's a bit unfair. I think Perez is a bit of a muppet. I think that his his signings are questionable. It seems he doesn't have a footballing brain. He doesn't seem that one defensive midfielder,
for a president.
You bring one in. Yeah, it's a strange one. Apparently, I've got friends that are in Madrid and they say that...
Apparently he's got friends. He's not actually sure.
Apparently I've got friends.
Sorry, I've got friends in Madrid, and they're telling me that being the Real Madrid president is more important to Madrid than actually being the mayor of Madrid.
Yeah.
It's got more power, and that's crazy.
Do you think
that
it's a problem?
That shows the institution that Real Madrid have built, and I think maybe that's another point here that we need to acknowledge, is that the political power and the social power that Real Madrid carry with themselves in Madrid, and that's why Real Madrid Barcelona is built as such a big game, and it's, you know, it's possibly been taken over by big brands that want to capitalise on that. But part of that is evaluating the impact that has on what the club's aims are. And part of the club's aims is to be a socially relevant club and a club that has respect of the other clubs. Because one thing you can say about Madrid is, in the old days, they're a hugely respected side because it was like, look, here come Royal Madrid. Here come the team who represent. And that's part of it, is that actually... No, they don't represent that very well right now. What they represent is exorbitant spending, like you say, only one title in 7 years. And it's it's the same as, you can ruin their party by saying you've spent all this money, it doesn't matter. Because what they've picked is a policy that's based on money and not, and that sort of soils the achievement a little bit.
What I'm trying to say is, like, you can switch the managers out as much as you like, but nothing's going to change at Real Madrid because you've still got Florent. Exactly. So nothing feels like, you can get him Rafael Benitez, but he's only going to be there for 2 years. It feels like, regardless of what he does, if he wins one league title in the next 2 years, he'll still be gone.
Well, we've also got to acknowledge the history of Rafa Benitez with Madrid and how embedded he is within Madrid culture in the first place. I mean, the guy was born in Madrid. Everything that's been critical in his life, apart from obviously Liverpool, is Madrid-based. You know, he served his national service there. I mean, if you go and read, I think Sid Lowe tweeted it out the other day, and that's where I'm getting all my ideas from with Benitez here. But obviously I'm a Liverpool fan, so I know a bit about him in the first place. You know, he'd done everything. He went to university there. He coached Real Madrid B. His Valencia side was the side that overcame an incredible Real Madrid side, you know. And do you know why they were so good? It was because of the ideas that he developed with in Madrid and with the Real Madrid beating, which was to make a side that would just go through someone else. And that Valencia side just took other teams apart. Do you know why? They had a 22-man, reasonably small squad. Mm-hmm. They had a 22-man squad. And his complaint when he left Valencia was, I asked for a lamp, and they I asked for a sofa and they gave me a lamp. Which basically is, I asked for investment in what I want and they didn't give it to me in the right way. They gave me the wrong tools. And that's what worries me about Rafa.
Yeah, do you think he's going to have the opposite problem, though?
Well, this guy's walking into sofa store, isn't he?
Yeah. He's going to ask for...
He's got Ronaldo, he's got all these... Yeah. It's interesting that, you know, I mean, ironically, they've sold the guy that Rafa made into the player that he is now, partly, Xabi Alonso, and Arbeloa as well, you know, could possibly be on his way. But, I mean... That's interesting. What's Rafa going to do there? And we've had, I mean, we've really seen the downfall of Rafa over the last few years, tactically. You know, I've seen him found out by other people when he hasn't had what he wanted. And that's been the point with him, is that Rafa, when he hasn't performed well, has not had the sofa, he's had the lamp. But Madrid is his Madrid is his sofa. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because it's comfortable. analogy works.
I just like that. I like the metaphors we're bringing in.
But it works. But that's what we'll see is, if we get Rafa in, will we see a kind of investment which brings more functional players in, which then allow these other players to do well?
One thing Rafa did brilliantly at Valencia was bring through Spanish players. Well, not bring them through, but sort of get the best out of them in a way.
Who's the keeper? The blonde keeper. Canizares?
Something like that.
Is it Canizares?
Something.
I think it was. Let me look it up, because he was one of my favourite goalkeepers. He was fantastic on Pro Evo.
Good air. Great air.
Yeah, blonde, very blonde.
The likes of Mr. Pablo Aimar, he got the best out of these players, and it'll be interesting to see what he does at Real, because Rafa Benitez likes a holding midfielder. Real Madrid, like we mentioned before, don't have a holding midfielder. So that's one player that he's going to have to go and get the president to buy for him, a holding midfielder. Who's going to play number 10? That's another big question. Rafa Benitez always plays a number 10 or a second sort of striker. You know, who's going to play there? James Rodriguez, Cruz, you know, Ronaldo could go there. There's so many players that Gareth Bale could fit in that position. There's so many questions that he's going to have to answer. And I don't think that, like we mentioned before, there's enough functional players in this Real Madrid side to work for Rafa Benitez. You know,
this bloody team is amazing.
It's a quality team.
Canizares, Ayala. Albelda and Barajar.
Just get Baraka. Going off on an absolute tangent.
Yeah.
On my game of football manager, he's my under-19s coach.
Who? Rafa?
Baraka.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, quality. And then up front is Mista. Do you remember Mista?
He's the one I was talking about. Top scorer that season.
Do you remember Vicente? Is it Vicente?
Vicente.
Obviously, Aimar. But the point was with Rafa, he had roughly a 22-man squad, and that's what he was trying to build at Liverpool, never quite built it.
Yeah.
But basically, players that could swap in and out, and no matter what, he'd basically be able to go through the other team. So, you know, he would tactically acknowledge them, but he'd still play quite an aggressive style of football. And I that's what I'm thinking is, if Real Madrid equip Rafa correctly, they've got a good combination. They've got a coach that will fit.
Going back to that whole holding midfielder point, we look at that team, the Valencia team of the early 2000s.
Yeah, 2001.
You know, Baraka and the other lad, David...
Albelda. Yeah.
Two brilliantly strong, physical central midfielders. He doesn't have that at Real Madrid now. He's going to have to get that into his squad. And then that leaves only four slots for all those attacking players that he's got. He's got a lot of questions to answer, Rafa, in the summer. Hell of a lot of questions.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how he gets on. Okay.
But Modric alongside someone else. Sorry, mate.
It would be interesting to see whether Illa Mende...
starts
to play again, because he'd be someone that would fit Rafa Benitez.
And if Ronaldo likes Isco. Isco's number, it could play number 10.
But Lucas Silva as well. Lucas Silva was almost overlooked by Ancelotti at times.
Yeah, he came in, didn't he? Played against Schalke in the Champions League, and then that was it. See you later. See you later, pal.
Well, then they were saying, if obviously they won't get Xabi Alonso back, but is it Modric and who in midfield?
That's true.
Gareth Barry.
But then Modric, again, isn't in that mould of being a strong defensive midfielder, is he? He's a brilliant player, but will he be moved on?
Well, that was a great Valencia team, though, wasn't it?
We'll have to see how he gets on next season. But the other big footballing event this week is, of course, the Europa League final, which is going on tonight.
Which Rafa Benitez could have been playing in.
Playing in?
Well, managing him. You know what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, Rafa Benitez could have been playing in if he registered, but he didn't. And then that's why he's not there.
The one and only David O'Brien is going to give us a little tactical preview of the match.
So, we have the final in Warsaw. Yeah. Stadium that you've been to, right?
I've been to the stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. It has a closing roof, so if it rains, no need to worry. It gets very hot in there, though.
Oh, nice.
Lovely. Do you know what? In the middle of the summer, it's fantastic. Warsaw, brilliant place to go.
What about
to
the game that's coming up?
Yeah, but no, I'm just
you're setting the scene, sorry.
If you go on the outside, it's red and white. It's lovely. Just like Poland's flag. Beautiful.
Really lovely.
And it lights up at night.
Lovely.
You'll see it. I mean, you'll see that in the final, Dave. I'm just setting the scene for Dave to say how it'll tactically play out.
Well, we've got Sevilla versus Dnipro.
Ooh.
An interesting tie, I think. They both play a similar 4-2-3-1 system. Mm-hmm. Sevilla's is quite like... The most relevant I'm sort of bringing out here is Mourinho set up at Inter Milan, yep, where they had Cambiasso and Thiago Motta sat behind Wesley Schneider, where Cambiasso and Thiago Motta protected those centre-halves, Lucio and Watt Samuel, so well. And then they let Schneider just drift around, chill around. That's very, very similar to what we're going to see from this Sevilla side.
Who plays that?
So you've got Eva Banega, mm-hmm, who's playing the Schneider role that Rakitic played last season. Obviously, Rakitic moving to Barcelona now. Absolutely brilliant. Even Banega's had an interesting Liga season. He's been all right, but he's really, really shone in the Europa League. Then you'll have two defensive midfielders, mm-hmm, you know, either Ebora and Bia, ex-Reading star Daniel Carreco.
Really?
Could be fitting in there. And there's a Polish lad who has a very, very difficult name to pronounce.
All right.
Give it a go, Dave. Go on.
Spell it.
Should we fire out? Hold on. Pause. We're going to go with Kai Chaurowski or something like that.
Kaczorowski.
There you go.
Let me have a look.
Right there. Kaczorowski.
What?
Sorry, Kai Chaurowski.
I
don't even know how to read that, mate. It's all over the place.
I think it's just Kraczolak.
Where'd
you get the Rowski from, Dave?
I don't know, mate. He's
anyway, he looks quality.
He's a very, very top player.
How many stars?
He's been linked with Arsenal this season.
Amazing.
I think he was one of the top tacklers in La Liga this season. So they have two very solid defensive midfielders to protect the back two, creating sort of magic square in a way, like Mourinho's team. They're very impressive down the flanks. You know, the wing backs linking up with the wingers. We saw that against Fiorentina. They absolutely demolished them in the semi-finals. Pretty brilliant stuff down the wing. Alex Vidal has been linked with Barcelona today. Who's played right back, right midfield for Sevilla this season. I think he got two goals against Fiorentina in the first leg. Yeah. And then they've obviously got Carlos Bacca up front.
Of course,
the goal scorer. Oh, man. Five goals this season.
Worth a Bacca? Would you bet on him to score?
I would bet on him to score. He's a brilliant aerial. He's a brilliant aerial threat. Big chap, can finish, you know. Definitely put some money on him to score, I'd say. Yeah. Moving on to Dnipro.
There's some interesting, because I don't know anything about Dnipro.
Do you know what? We discussed this beforehand, and we thought this Europa League preview would be shit, but it turns out it isn't, right?
And quite interesting.
You know what I found out? Well, I mean, we found out so much here. Not only that, but, you know, will Arsenal sign Kaczorowski in the off-season? There's not even his name.
Kaczorowski. There's no Kaczorowski.
But, you know, that'd be,
what about Dnipro?
Dnipro, well, they've been solid defensively. I think they've got one of the best defensive records in the tournament, but they've only scored 15 goals in 16 games. So they have rolled their luck through the competition.
It's the final, though, isn't it, Dave?
It is the final.
You only need one goal to win.
You do. If you watch the game against Napoli in the first leg, their keeper had an absolute worldie. Napoli were all over them. Hamzik had 100 chances. Higuain had a little battle 100? With the goalkeeper. Well, there was just a lot of chances. I was exaggerating. You know,
you're a stats man. I actually genuinely thought
like that, Dave.
You can't just drop stats like that.
Trust
it's like
what
David
you're
Cameron being like, we'll sort the economy somehow. Fuck it.
Moving on. So, yeah, the keeper had an absolute worldie. Higuain got denied a number of times. But you think you got Kopyplenka, the lad that was linked with Liverpool.
Kopyplenka. Looks like he's in Stoke.
Stoke were thrilling this weekend, were they not?
Yeah.
Stoke were thrilling.
You probably saw that game and thought, forget Liverpool, mate. I'm joining Stoke now.
He also looks like they've beaten Spurs to him as well.
Wow.
Spurs and Liverpool are interested. They something happened with the contract. And Conor Plianka's not going there anymore. He's going to Stoke.
Anyway, that's probably about it with Dnipro. They're just solid defensively. They counter-attack reasonably well.
Who do you think is going to win then, Dave?
I love their badge.
It's got to be Sevilla. It's really got to be Sevilla for me, you know. Oof. Emery won the tournament last season with Sevilla. Mm. Sevilla have got one of the best records in the Europa League since the competition started. So got to go with this Sevilla team. It's just got a blend of physicality in the middle, brilliant wingers, and Bacca up front.
Do you remember that Sevilla team of a few years ago with Jesus Navas, Canute, all those guys? That was a quality side.
There was Fabiano.
Yeah.
Adriano and Dani Alves.
They were amazing.
That was a banging team. As a
we're going back through some great La Liga sides here, Adam.
Yeah, we are.
We're going back to the 90s.
Getting a bit retro.
That was an amazing side.
That was a really, really, really
incredible
good
team. Amazing on Pro Evo as well.
Yeah, they had some. Who else? They had another really good striker. Lose his name, but they were top.
How do you look
team
up old teams on things?
Wikipedia, mate. Wikipedia.
So
there is Dave's little tactical preview. Thank you very much, Dave. That was very nice. After this, we're going to come back with a bit of transfer news and your questions. So a little bit of transfer news then. Today's big story is in The Guardian, so you know it's true. Karim Benzema has been linked to a move to Manchester United. So apparently the Real Madrid striker is viewed by Louis van Gaal as the answer to their goal-scoring problems. Falcao's off.
Yeah.
He's been sent back to Monaco.
Ah, no, he's going to Chelsea, apparently.
Well, he's not a Manchester United, that's for sure.
To be quite honest,
really?
Absolute goal.
Are you not happy?
No, I am happy. I'm not happy. I'm sad for Falcao. I really feel that it's not worked for him, and it looks like his career's coming to an end, and that's to put it frankly, he's been awful.
Did you read the, I think it was a Guardian article I read over the weekend about how he's not particularly happy at United, but he does like the fans.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's nice.
Apparently in Colombia they're saying he's just not been handled right, because he's El Tigre, right?
No, the Tiger.
Which means the Tiger in Spanish. And it just means, they're saying is, El Tigre needs to be handled correctly, he needs a good handler. He needs like a Siegfried and Roy, and I don't think that
Louis van Gaal's not the man.
I don't think Louis van Gaal is
Louis van Gaal the man to handle Karim Benzema though. What do you reckon, Dave? As a United fan, 40 million for Benzema, is that a good deal?
40 million for Benzema?
How old is he?
Probably, I think he's about 26, 27, something around there. Well, I think that he'd be,
Yeah, he's 27.
27. What he does for Real Madrid, obviously vacates the space, lets Ronaldo get involved into that central area, combines
them
brilliantly.
Do you think he'll be vacant for United?
He could be. Looking at his stats are pretty decent. He's been directly involved in 73 goals in the last three seasons. Only Messi and Ronaldo have scored or assisted more goals. So he's got decent record.
So why would Real let him go?
Well, it doesn't seem like he's ever been universally loved at Real Madrid. And they're one of those weird clubs where even if you've got Angel Di Maria, who's one of their best players last season, sell him anyway.
I mean, that's the interesting thing is Benitez let, when he moved in at Liverpool, let Michael Owen go, who is the marquee striker there. If he fits with Rafa Benitez's system, it could be that they let Karim Benzema go if they can find him.
What do you reckon, Lawrence? Do you reckon Benzema a good signing for United?
Do you want me to rate it out of five, Adam?
Well, you can if you want.
On a scale of 1 to 5, I'll say a 3.
You mean in terms of likelihood or how good it is?
Likelihood.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's 5 out of 5, technically. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
mentally, you wonder if he's there and you wonder if he's the right kind of Rafa player.
Do you reckon, so in The Guardian, he's also saying United will face competition from Arsenal.
Yeah.
So who do you reckon Benzema would be better off going to, Arsenal, United?
You fit Arsenal 100% more. You know, they play that possession game, interplaying with the forward, but then where does Giroud go?
Well, he's second string.
Second string. But then,
you do have a poor French front line there.
Yeah.
You do. That is true. But
we're not playing ultimate team.
I just can't imagine him leaving, to be quite honest. I think it's very unlikely that Benzema will leave Real Madrid.
Depends on if Rafa wants
this
him.
This is the thing, whether Rafa
depends on if the new manager wants him.
I'd almost say it doesn't matter what the manager thinks. It's Perez's
decision. I think it does with certain managers. I think, Rafa Benitez is well respected in Madrid, even though he's flogged before.
The next bit of transfer news is that Sami Khedira looks set to join Juventus.
On a free.
Free. Is that a good signing?
I think it's a poor signing from Juventus. Ooh. Because Sami Khedira has been poor. Hold on, let me explain. Yeah. He's not been very good for the last season and a half. Juventus recently have signed very talented young players. The likes of Pogba, the likes of Koeman. You saw him at the weekend that he had an absolutely brilliant assist for the first Juve goal.
And he manages Southampton. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's done it all.
But I just think Sami Khedira, he's old, he's 28.
Wait, that isn't old.
For me,
how old are you, Dave?
I'm seeing this Juventus team as they're building like a whole generation of young players that are coming through at the same time.
Morata, 4 or 5 years,
Pogba,
sure.
Those types of players. I just can't see where Sami Khedira are going to fit into this system with the likes of Vidal in there, the likes
Pogba
of Marquisio.
Might be off,
with all due respect, Dave.
Go on.
I mean,
slam me.
Well, no, Pirlo's leaving, isn't he? Possibly.
Possibly.
Pogba's still possibly leaving as well.
So we're seeing someone else who can sit in.
Potentially. I just think it goes outside the ilk of current Juventus signings. Obviously, they've signed a lot of players on the free transfer, but it's different. Like, it's age.
I'd love to.
What do you think went wrong for Khedira at Real Madrid?
Just wrong coaches. Wrong
injuries, wrong maybe, as well.
He was injured at the wrong time. That's correct.
The amount of signings that they made at central midfield as well.
He was quality under Mourinho at times, wasn't he?
Yeah, brilliant. It was when Ozil was playing with him.
Yeah. Two Germans.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant relationship those two had. So that's why Arsenal could be the best place for him.
Agreed. I agree with Dave. Although I'd love to see him at Liverpool. Mate, Emre Can and Sami Khedira alongside each other.
Hell yeah.
Two Germans.
I like it.
Khedira. Well, I mean, they can rotate. I mean, Emre Can is
forward,
he is solid defensively this season.
Yes, of course. The other, speaking of Liverpool, the other big transfer news, this is over the weekend.
Raheem Sterling's going, mate.
No, the other bit of transfer news was that the Sunday Times, another legit paper, reporting that Liverpool are in for Christian Benteke. So apparently they are willing to spend as much as £30 million.
No, I don't think they're willing to spend them. I think that what Aston Villa are saying is he will go for
it. He will cost you £30 million. What do you reckon, Lawrence? Good move? So this season, last season, Liverpool scored in excess of 100 league goals. Mm-hmm. This season it was 50, 51.
They scored half that, yes.
Exactly.
They almost scored exactly half.
Do you think Benteke is the man to bring back the goals to Anfield?
Benteke is the man to bring goals to Aston Villa. I'm not sure how well he fits the Liverpool system. I think he fits Villa's system in...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Incredibly well. Mm. I wonder, will Liverpool play the kind of football that he wants in? He needs a... Benteke, it's fair to say, needs a bit of time to get the ball out from underneath his feet. And Liverpool don't really like players like that in the Brendan Rodgers side. So I'm going to say no, he doesn't fit the system. But and that's the problem, is I think Liverpool actually needs someone... who's a more complimentary striker.
Yeah, because famously a few seasons ago, Brendan Rodgers moved on Andy Carroll, more of an aerial presence because he didn't fit the style. Why would Christian Benteke fit the...
Well, Benteke's a slightly... I mean, he strikes me as a slightly more continental player with a slightly different mentality. What you do wonder is, you know... I mean, it's where Liverpool find themselves in the food chain as well, isn't it?
I'd love to see him at Spurs, Benteke.
I think Benteke would be good great. For Spurs, I'd say. Definitely good. Liverpool. You look at Villa under Sherwood, they get the ball very early. If there's an opportunity to whip a ball into Benteke, they'll go for it. They'll put it in the box.
Correct.
You can't see a Brendan Rodgers team doing that.
No.
They like the ball on the deck. They like possession of the ball. It's a bit different. Benteke's a strange striker that just scores after the 1st of January, but he's been in absolute scintillating form after that date this season.
At least look at the mic when you're talking to
him. Absolutely bagged goals. He's got 11, I think 12 goals since the 1st of January, which is a pretty decent record, but it won't fit Liverpool. Potentially would fit Spurs. He'd suit someone like Everton that got decent fullbacks that get forward and cross.
Like Lukaku.
Right. But then Lukaku's...
Danny Rose, Kyle Walker. They're always whipping the ball.
Can I ask them, are Liverpool too married to their ideology? And is it this point where they need to think, well, actually, maybe we need a player like Benteke who gives us a legitimate second plan?
Well, that's what Ricky Lambert was for, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, this is what I was just about to say. Barini, not a plan B. Balotelli, not a plan B. Lambert, a legitimate plan B, but not used by Liverpool. So you'd say then Brendan Rodgers is wedded to the ideology. That means he's going to need to find a striker who fits the ideology. He doesn't currently have anyone like that outside Daniel Sturridge, and you know Luis Suarez fit that perfectly. So who's he going to find that he can bring in to fit that?
You see, I'd definitely like him at Man United. I think he'd work with obviously
Rodgers. You could have him, mate.
Yes. Not Brendan. Benteke. Right. I think he'd fit in really nicely. We've been playing Fellaini and this midfield role as an out ball, so we've been hitting him early with balls from the back. I think we need to get rid of that. We need a ball playing central midfielder in place of Fellaini, and Benteke as an option up front to hit him with the ball. Our strikers this season have been poor, not scoring. You know, Rooney's our top scorer with 12 goals. You know, the likes of Depay coming in on one of the wings. You look at PSV's system as well. They played. They had De Jong, who used to play for Newcastle. Mm-hmm. Him up front, bit of a target man, who combined quite nicely with Depay. So you could see that relationship. Hit Benteke early, could lay it off to Depay. Depay plays that sort of, you know, the poacher role, the going in behind, running in behind, staying wide, then running in behind. That could work really nicely with a target man in there.
It's almost pornographic.
It's a little bit. I'm getting a little bit excited. And then obviously we're going to get a new right back in. So
who? Danny Alves,
hopefully. But he's, Nathaniel Clyne would be a decent one. Yeah. Anyway.
Danny Alves said in his press conference, I've already got one head, half a body, and one foot out the door.
Come on,
Port Lad.
I like it. Yeah. Let's get it. So listen, that's the three main sort of transfer news stories this week. Yeah. Gonna move on to the questions now. A few questions on the old Twitter.
Yeah, questions.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So speaking of, you know, Brendan Rodgers, Liverpool, that sort of stuff. Sam Johnson asks, is it time up for Brendan Rodgers at Liverpool?
No.
So at the weekend, Liverpool smashed 6-1 by Stoke. Pretty humiliating defeat.
Humiliating.
Did it hurt?
Caused a bit of an inquest post-mortem into the whole season.
Not really, no.
So do you think they should stick with Rodgers?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think they should stick with Rodgers? One more season? Change
one more
it
season,
up?
Dave.
I think they need the right players coming in this window. They need to make good signings, and I think that's to do with Rodgers and whoever makes the thing. I think that's key to it.
I don't think Rodgers was too responsible for the signing of Balotelli, etc. I think maybe this season Rodgers has proven. Look, if you don't listen to me, then it won't go well.
Which could be good. You could see him being that whole sort of does well one season, then does poorly. Does well, does poorly.
Let's also say in recent times we've seen him. I mean, Sterling's not really an outlet now. Gerrard in this game certainly wasn't an outlet.
Yeah.
And you'd argue that Gerrard doesn't really fit Brendan Rodgers' system.
No.
So your problem there is he's had to play him because he's saying goodbye in the last two games. Liverpool got absolutely thumped.
They did.
And it's maybe a really good point to say that he just doesn't fit this system.
Yeah.
It's good that he's moving on at this point. And Liverpool will buy a centre-back possibly, move Emre Can forward. You've got people who can come in, fill the space in midfield. They need a striker.
They need a striker, definitely.
And they need to get rid of Barini, Balotelli and Lambert. Although, you know, if Lambert was to stay, I wouldn't be gutted.
That was Liverpool's worst defeat in Premier League history.
Yeah.
The worst defeat in 22 years. The last coming against Coventry City. 5-1 scoreline.
Correct.
Terrible day for Liverpool.
Yeah. Well, not a bad one.
Let me ask you the next question. John Salga said, is Sergio Aguero in your team of the season? So Sergio Aguero is the top Premier League scorer this season. Mm-hmm. He was left out of the PFA team of the year. Mm-hmm. Some would say overlooked unfairly. Is he in your team of the season alongside Harry Kane, no doubt, up front?
Yeah, right.
100%.
Over Costa?
100%.
Yeah, definitely over Costa. Costa's the thing with that shortlist and the whole PFA stuff, it gets decided quite early door. It gets decided before the end of the season.
Yeah.
So you see the likes of Costa that had a wonderful start to the season and then a decent middle and then he got injured.
Mm.
You sort of forget that Aguero was injured. The period when they were deciding it, he was out injured and then he came back and smashed it again.
Good point, Dave.
100% in there, Aguero.
Yeah, good point.
The best striker in the Premier League.
And he's had a better season than he had, underneath... Pellegrini
underneath Mancini.
Pellegrini's got the best out of him still being injured.
Yeah.
So all right, fair enough. I will.
Adnan Qureshi says, which league has better quality and is more competitive, the English Premier League or La Liga? I would argue that you could separate the two and say La Liga has more quality.
But really? Where?
The Premier League is more competitive.
You know what? I'd put the Premier League as more quality and more competitive.
I'm going to say, hold on. Let's wait a second.
We have
Real Madrid,
mm-hmm.
Barcelona, and Atletico.
Yeah.
So Barcelona
and Sevilla and Valencia.
Hold on. Let me just go for my point. Barcelona would smash Chelsea.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. And Man City are second in the league, or Arsenal?
Man City finished second. Yeah.
Man City finished second.
No one cares.
They would get beat by Real Madrid.
Mm.
Atletico Madrid would beat Arsenal.
Mm.
Valencia would give United a good run this year.
It depends how you look at it, isn't it?
I think the top five, you know, and Sevilla. I think Sevilla are top. Sevilla would beat Tottenham. I think the top five
would beat Liverpool.
Is better. Sevilla would beat Liverpool as well.
You know what?
Sevilla in
the
Europa League final.
Put it this way, Dave. Right? Do you butter your bread all on one side, or do you spread it evenly?
That's a good point.
There you go. No one likes a big knob of butter. No one likes... I mean, AD Ward certainly doesn't like a knob. But what I'd say is that no one likes a big knob of butter. Right?
I'd argue, regardless of the quality of the teams, we've seen more quality in La Liga this season. This season in the Premier League, there's been a distinct lack of quality.
I'd love to see at the end of the year each position plays each other.
Oh yeah.
So 20th in the Prem, 20th in the Liga. Then we can decide who wins.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
Speaking of this, the question from Kim Wees, she says, if you took a La Liga best 11, Premier League best 11, Serie A best 11, and a Bundesliga best 11, which would win?
So Bayern Munich against the rest of Europe.
Yeah. Bayern Munich versus Real Madrid, Barcelona mixed together. Premier League would
Bundesliga would have more quality. I mean, they'd have people from
Marco
Reus. They'd have people
who would win?
who would win? They'd have to be from Borussia Dortmund.
I'd be tempted to say. Depends who's managing, doesn't it? Depends who's managing these teams. Jose Mourinho managed a Premier League team.
Yeah, so Mourinho
winning every day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, Pep would be.
Yeah, Pep would be there.
Luis Enrique.
What about and then Allegri from?
Oh, well, that'd be a great little matchup, wouldn't it? Why would they do that? Why don't they do that?
Well, because too many players would get injured, mate.
Oh yeah,
it'd be awful.
it'd be sounds great. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure it would be brutal. I do think it's the kind of thing where if the Qataris stepped in, they could probably make it.
You know how they do the they do the MLS All Star Game? If you could do a nice All Star game,
that'd be cool.
With the different leagues.
I like the idea.
I do think it's a great idea. I mean, in the future,
I've seen
that'll
a floated Premier League North All Star team, the Northern teams, and South All Star team. That'd
that
be cool.
Would be a quality thing. I mean,
that'd be
Jonas
a really
Gutierrez,
good.
Isn't
sort of, yeah.
I'm gonna go with La Liga 11 would win. This tournament,
really?
I think La Liga. Yeah, I think
overall probably
you'd have the likes of Ronaldo, Messi,
world,
Neymar.
So
up front,
it's a bit silly.
Yeah, but think about it this way. I mean, with John Terry at the back,
they destroy John Terry. The pace.
No, but with John, who's John Terry's
partner?
Partner.
Or Gary it'd be Jose Fonte. What's his name? Jose Font.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Probably this season.
Top interceptor in the Premier League.
I've got him,
Jose. You're mud.
I'm not. Just a Skirtle. Skirtle and Terry's not a bad centre-back combo.
Did you see Skirtle on the weekend, mate? Yeah, he was all over the place.
Vil Putinen said, would you rather finish fourth or lose the league on the final day and come second? I think I'd rather lose the league on the last day and finish second, because I'm still second.
A team,
and I got close.
A season of mediocrity is terrible.
Yeah.
It depends where you're going, though, isn't it?
At Kazola Assist said, who should eventually replace Arsene Wenger at Arsenal? What do you reckon to Jurgen Klopp? He's taking a 6-month sabbatical. He could be maybe the end of the season next season. Arsene Wenger could leave.
Ancelotti's always liked Arsenal, and he's always
Ancelotti. He's now free. He's out of a job.
That'd be nice.
Pep Guardiola at the end of next season might be a good shout. Who do you reckon's the best?
I think that's why Arsenal are waiting, isn't it?
Well, Manchester City are waiting as well, so they've got some competition.
We were saying the other day, I mean, imagine Man City and Klopp paired up.
Cool. Yeah.
That'd be some personality mixed with guys who are perceived not to have it. So,
how about we talk a little bit about the promoted teams who are going to be in the Premier League next season? Jacob Hill wants to know, how do you think they're going to fare? And Rustam Bagirov said, which are the most likely to go down?
Okay,
so
Norwich,
we've got
Norwich
up
will continue their
the
strategy
playoffs.
Of investment, right? Mm-hmm. And they will look to solidify their place in the Premier League.
What about Bournemouth? We got the underdogs, the heroes, Bournemouth.
I mean, I've said before, I'd love to see them stay up because of their heart, but I think they'll go down because
go
of their head.
Do you think they're going to go straight back down?
Of course.
Oh, it's such a shame. I'd love to see them stay up again.
We said the same about
that. Is it going to be they're going to do a Burnley? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Defensively, they just don't have enough quality defenders. I think they can survive at championship level, but there's a step up. Defensively, and I think
they've got Eddie Howe, mate. Eddie Howe.
It's the players. I think that's the problem. They've got Matt Ritchie, though. I think Matt Ritchie's going to set the Premier League alight next season. He's the top assister in the Championship this season. A pretty decent little winger. Scored some pretty explosive goals from far out this season. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one.
What about Watford then?
Watford again. They've got a lot of ex Premier League players, haven't they?
Yeah,
they have. They get QPR.
They're new Premier League players now, aren't they?
Work. Yeah. No. Yeah, I said they'll do a QPR.
Let me ask you one final question then, which is a good one from Lorenzo Castanon. Yeah. He said, should the Premier League have playoffs? Now, when I first saw this question, I dismissed it straight away. I was like, no. But thinking about it again, the end of this season has been a bit stale.
Yeah,
Chelsea were champions from the off. So maybe, although we could have the champions, crown champions, you know, based on the league form over the season, what if there was a playoff for those Champions League places? Because it feel, you know, what if Tottenham, Southampton now were in a playoff for the Champions League qualification?
That'd be sick.
That'd be a pretty exciting finish to the season, I think.
So it's
bring some real drama.
Quite similar to how the Eredivisie works out of the Europa League places. They
there
have, like, I think it's 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th all play each other.
Oh, I'd love
but
to
that'd
see
be,
that.
That'd be pretty awesome for those. So you're saying the top two in the Premier League would get Champions League?
I think they'd be nailed on.
And then
the other two positions.
Third, fourth, fifth, sixth.
Yeah.
Now that would be nice.
So I think that would give, it'd be such a... People would really be pushing for those sort of six positions, wouldn't they? Swansea, you know, all that. It would make the competition at that top of the league, instead of just top four and, you know, the rest are sort of, you know, you're cut adrift. Mm-hmm. I think a playoff would be fantastic.
One problem with that is if you have that situation where Man United go away to Hull in the league, let's say, right? Mm. And they know that if they win, they're going to get a harder opponent than if they lose. If it were to work out the way that season, for example.
Although I think they just have a random draw, don't you?
And I think you've got to do it on position of league for playoffs, really, to be honest.
Oh,
About another thing, okay, at the other side of the league, what about having a fourth relegation playoff place like they do in Germany?
I like that.
Now
that
would
like
be tasty.
Well. Yeah, maybe it's a bit.
But like the, like the Newcastle drama. Deserve to have to do something for their. They did get above Sunderland, so they weren't actually fourth bottom, but they were pretty awful.
Sunderland
would be in it,
and then you'd just see this terrible lottery.
So you could have Sunderland versus Middlesbrough, the loser of the playoff final versus the.
I suppose it does. I suppose I see what you're saying there is that you want to make the overall league more competitive,
more drama at the end.
Then that makes sense, but. Financially, it just messes up so many clubs.
It'd just be exciting.
Or anyway, does it level it out because more and more clubs get more and more money because more and more teams go up and down?
There you go. Listen, that's all we've got time for the questions this week. Great. If you want to send in questions for next week, hit us up on Twitter @thefront3 with the number 3, not the word. After this, we'll come back and do some talking points.
Whoop.
Okay, so we're back with the talking points. Dave, you are up first. You want to talk about watching football.
So, I'm going to give you a bit of a story here.
Go ahead.
I was watching football at the weekend, and it was absolutely awesome. Saturday was awesome. Sunday was awesome. On Saturday, you had the German relegation battle. Hamburg were trying to, you know, survive. They've never been relegated ever in Bundesliga history. The only team never to be relegated. They were fighting relegation. Mm-hmm. You know, what I loved about it was all the games kicked off at the same time, and you were going from one game to another game. There was a goal in the Stuttgart game, right. They fly over. Then there's a goal in the Bayern Munich game, and you fly over there.
Yeah.
Then you go to La Liga in the evening. You have Barcelona beating Deportivo 2-0, and then winning 2-0, and then Deportivo coming back to again survive relegation. Yeah. You know, Almeria losing to Valencia, brilliant game there. Obviously, all interlinking all the games. Then the Premier League, less thrilling on Sunday with United and Hull. That was an awful game. Yeah. Don't go back and watch that. But what I want to ask you
Jonas Gutierrez.
Why can't we have games at 3 o'clock like that? And why can't we have this German scorecasting where we can watch it on the telly?
Because of the way that the Premier League was set up, Dave.
So that's the reason why the Football League, the standpoint of their on, is because they don't have it at 3 o'clock because they think it will drive attendances down at games. And I think that is completely wrong.
Well, no, it's not true, is it?
It's not true in its own right.
Well, they don't know for a start, but I guess also part of them would say they're probably going to argue that because they're making more money from Sky directly.
So, yeah, that's one thing you've just mentioned, Sky. So, Virgin Media apparently went to Ofcom and complained that these 3 o'clock kickoffs weren't on the telly. Apparently, 42% of games were missing out on that are at that 3 o'clock. And I think it's an important thing to potentially move the game on. You know, obviously, we're behind Germany now.
Dave, it's hard to break the monopoly that Sky have.
That's what we need to do.
Well, I mean, you say we need to. They've just paid for another deal. So, I mean, you've got a long time to plan it.
Well, BT are coming in, but I'm sure BT will do a similar thing. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's part of the problem is that these guys all want to ensure... that the problem is they all want to ensure the financial future of their business, right?
Yeah.
And the Premier League have not very astutely, not really ensured the financial future of their own. Look at the NBA. You can watch the highlights of the NBA next day on the website. NFL as well. You can do exactly the same.
You can do that over here, but you have to pay for the Times or Sun subscription.
Yeah, but that's my point.
You want it to be free.
That's my point. Well, I think if they owned it and they syndicated it in such a way, they would still be able to get people to pay for it. It's just that they've not been clever enough or forward-thinking enough to hold the correct rights and look at digital rights, etc., far forward enough. They've basically gone, right, what suits us right now? Brilliant, TV, that works. Right, what suits us right now? Internet, right, that works. We'll sell this. Because it suits certain people. Who does it suit most? Rupert Murdoch. Who gets them? The Times, the Sun. Who owns the Times and the Sun? Rupert Murdoch.
The interesting thing with that, like you're saying, that they haven't strategised. One thing that they need to do, hopefully you can get someone in the FA that is smart, or the Premier League that is smart, further down the line, that will think of these things. You know, you mentioned the Sun and the Times. That's selling football content, goal content on a mobile device.
Mm-hmm.
Why have they not thought about that properly and then said, okay, right, we'll sell that to them on the Premier League website. We'll show all the goals from yesterday. Obviously, you've got this whole match of the day problem and all that. That's an absolute mess.
But that's
seems
the point,
like we're in
that,
the dark ages.
Well, part of the problem is that it was always a good idea to keep match of the day and I really hope this happens. I hope it's a good idea to keep Match of the Day because that's on a public service broadcaster in Britain. That not, might not matter to you outside the UK, but in England, that's something that people really worry about, is the sanctity of public service broadcasting. And keeping Match of the Day on ITV or BBC is vital because it keeps it free, basically. And that, well, relatively free as long as you pay your TV licence. If you put it on, and this is what's going to happen with BT Sport. I mean, I know they're going to give away certain games free, but the Champions League is not going to be on terrestrial television at all.
ITV have lost the rights.
Because ITV have lost the rights, because they did not protect them. My point would be that the money is all fucked up.
Yeah, I think they've fucked it up. The Premier League
Sky
have
did.
Fucked it up.
Well, I mean, it's the height of Thatcherism.
Sky have let them
strong
do that.
Words.
But anyway.
I'm going to, again, blame Thatcherism. Rampant
Thatcherism.
Bloody
Thatcher.
Bloody Thatcher. She ruined the North, and now she's ruining the South.
Is your talking point Thatcher? Or have you got some?
No, my talking point is pro-evil. No. It's, I had to come up with one just off the top of my head because I didn't have anything I really wanted to talk about this week. Mine are teams of the decade, roughly between 1996 and 2006. 2007. So basically teams
of crazy question.
The millennial decade, basically. I've got a few great suggestions.
Go on. Right?
So this show in alone, we've come up with Sevilla, we've come up with Valencia, we could also have come up with the Yellow Submarines themselves.
Oh my God, I forgot about Villarreal. That was
Raquel
brilliant.
Mayen. Yeah. Do you know Pascal Cigan?
Yeah. What a legend.
Other great guys in there. Who else played for them?
Giuseppe Rossi.
There you go. Nilmar played for them.
Just crazy good players.
Anyway,
Sorin, the left back.
There you go.
Quality player.
There's so many people who stand out in there. Do you know why? Because they were some real quality, technically gifted football players. AC Milan.
Yeah.
AC Milan under Ancelotti was Pirlo. I mean, not only under Ancelotti, on a manager as well. Pirlo, Cafu, Maldini, Nesta,
Gattuso, Kaká, Ambrosini.
Van Bommel came in at one point. Ibrahimovic was there for a while. I mean, I know it was later on. Not really. Shevchenko. Alexander Pato was a young player in those seasons. I'm not kidding. I love
Kaká. Did you mention Kaká?
Kaká was quality.
Maldini.
Think about that. Is a creme de la creme team.
Cafu.
Basically, what we're talking about here is Pro Evo 3, Pro Evo 4 teams.
Oof.
Who was your favourite Pro Evo 3, 4 team? Mine, AC Milan, Shevchenko and Inzaghi up front. Possibly Shevchenko alone up front as part of a midfield five just behind him.
I think off camera Dave mentioned Inter Milan.
They are banging.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Who
was their forward?
So you had you played a 4-4-2 diamond. You had Stankovic in the hole. You had Rakoba involved. You had Adriano involved. You had Julio Cesar involved. It was a brilliant, brilliant team on Pro Evo. You could score from anywhere with Adriano. You just pressed the shoot button and it flying.
He was ridiculous, wasn't he? He was quite ridiculous.
One team that we haven't mentioned that is probably my team from that period would be Leverkusen. So that great Leverkusen team that got to the Champions League final and obviously lost that brilliant Zidane goal. You know, the likes of Bernd Schneider, Oliver Neuville, you know, Bastuk, Balak, Ziraberto, Lucio, these players that are absolutely brilliant. Hangs your butt, one of the goalkeepers that takes penalties. Absolutely so. Brilliant.
Who's in what butt? also, one sec.
Ooh, what are you saying?
What about the old Real Madrid team? I've just tried to find we've got Beckham, Zidane, Raul.
Oh, the Galacticos.
Ronaldo, Figo, Guti, Samuel, Roberto Carlos was in there.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know when you think about that team, they never actually won that much, did
anything?
They?
Yeah.
Well, they won the Champions League, didn't they?
But that not with Beckham.
Not when Beckham
was
there.
Wasn't it?
So
I
then
when I first came here,
Champions League. They won that league title with Capello.
Yeah.
But they actually win very much for the amount of money they spent and all these incredible players.
Going back to our president problem before.
Hey, there you go. Exactly.
100%.
It comes round, doesn't it? It's all the circles.
It's just a big president problem. They ruin computer games.
That was very good. I like that. A few hipster teams in there. A few Pro Evo 3 teams in there.
I'm just trying to think of
a few great teams.
There was
Galacticos we talked about.
I mean, Galacticos, yeah. There are other just hidden sides.
Why don't you tweet us? Tweet us at the Front Three. Let us know who are the greatest teams of the last 15, 20 years we're talking about now, aren't we?
Well, I mean, also, if you listen on SoundCloud, the best thing I love is that when it goes along the timeline,
you can
see people's comments popping up.
Popping
so
up.
If you put your comments in like a
Pretty
little
cool.
cluster here.
Listen, cluster my two. Talking point, the most important talking point, because it's mine.
Yeah.
I want to know what your moment of the season is. So has there been one moment this season where it's just, you know, it's been breathtaking for you?
The emergence of Harry Kane for me.
That's my
Shit.
No, actually, that's not a moment. See, I've got a specific moment in mind. Dave, you got any moments of the season in mind? Was it Messi's performance against Bayern Munich in that first leg? Was it Juan Mata's scissor kick?
I think that's it. As soon as you said that, Juan Mata at Wanfield.
That was a great goal, wasn't it?
What a brilliant goal. Di Maria played that ball through. Everyone forgets that. Di Maria played a perfectly weighted pass. But I think I'm going to go with Lionel Messi versus Man City in the first 20 minutes of that game.
Man City, that was insanely good. Very good. Lawrence, you got any moment of the season for you?
This is a hard one for me.
It's very hard.
I mean, I'm happy to see Juve go through to the final of the Champions League.
Moment of the season was then beating Real Madrid then? In a way?
No, not really. I mean, it's going to have to be something Premier League based.
Gutierrez goal this weekend.
Gutierrez goal is a big one. I interviewed Jones the week before that, you know, and I was so nervous that Newcastle would lose and then we wouldn't be able to put the interview out.
Oh, right.
And I think he was very nervous about that as well. I
mean, he didn't actually score the goal that secured their...
No, but like people he did that solidifying thing, stopped them.
I
mean, it essentially just stopped them from being nervous in the last few minutes.
Yeah, it was done after that. It was done. Yeah,
which is great for them.
Yeah.
That was so a good moment.
Did you see when he celebrated? He was running towards the bench. You're thinking, oh, maybe he's gonna high five John Carver or just acknowledge him in any way. No, just ran past him. Yeah.
Can we also what about
it's a dangerous
Alan
game?
Pardew being a moment of the season.
Well, there's no
big Pards.
No specific moment for me.
Well, the moment Alan Pardew was just recognised as Alan Pardew at Crystal Palace is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
He's had a pretty good run of form. I'd be interested to see what he does with that team next season. Coutinho scored some great goals.
Yeah, scored some absolute
good moment.
As a United fan, I think the performance against Tottenham in the first half, absolutely, that was our best performance of this season. We started with such great tempo. We killed Bentaleb and Ryan Mason, the defensive midfielders, didn't give them an inch of space. Fellaini scored a brilliant goal in the left channel. Mm.
David De Gea is leaving United as well. I mean,
he's had moments.
Quality,
you know, that you look against Everton, save against Raheem Sterling. It just goes on. It absolutely goes on.
For me, my moment of the season has got to be, the story of the season is Harry Kane, right?
Yeah.
What a player. But the moment was when he headed in that goal, North London Derby. It's 1-1, 2-1, Harry Kane. That was like the peak.
What a day.
It was peak Kane.
Peak Kane.
It was peak. To do that in North London Derby, and you saw how much it meant to him. The fans were loving it. Oh, what a moment.
Got to mention Ronald
Koeman. I'm biased. Yeah, but that's not a moment. You know what I mean? It's not a magical moment. You were watching it live, and you were like, oh my God,
They've scored some good goals. When they absolutely took apart that team the other week, who did they take apart who were getting relegated?
Football, bloody hell. This is it.
Football.
Aston Villa.
Bloody hell.
Southampton. Ooh. That was football,
oh,
bloody hell.
A
2-minute 49 second hat-trick from Mene.
Mene, yeah.
Absolutely
insane. I mean,
that's
record.
Yeah.
Ahead of Robbie Fowler. People thought Robbie Fowler would never be beaten, but he was. Unfortunately, by someone who ultimately
that was quite
won't be the same kind of player.
I think next season he will be one of the players of the season.
But what I'm saying is, you know, Robbie Fowler was a Premier League legend in that sense. You know what I mean?
Sado can do it.
Well, we'll see if Sadio Mane can do it.
Yeah.
I did love when you're talking about Man City, Lionel Messi in that game. The specific moment was when he nutmegged James Milner.
Yeah.
And cut to Pep Guardiola in the crowd.
Celebrated.
And he was just like, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. Pep Guardiola. He was like,
James
absolutely
Milner's
love
so
it.
Good. You can see his mind. Going,
how could he
fucking
nutmeg
him? Sign him?
Go on.
Sad moment of the season.
Boateng falling over.
Oh. Klopp leaving Borussia Dortmund.
Oh, I cried watching his speech.
Wow. He recorded it, didn't he? Because he didn't want to become overwhelmed.
But it was weird. He seems like such an egoic man.
Yeah.
And
There was a lovely, just some lovely shots of him watching his own speech with the fans.
Mm. Yeah.
It was quite weird. It was like he was like, yeah, it's not me. And he kind of looked up at the screen. And it was like, yeah, well, you know.
Because he said in the interview he didn't want to do what he did at Mainz. Because at Mainz he gave a speech when he left and he started to cry, welled up, couldn't get his points across. And it was just a lovely end to a brilliant team. I think we'll remember that Dortmund team similar how to remember the Leverkusen team. You know, just missing out on that Champions League glory. But obviously they did win the league twice.
Some quality players in there.
Top players.
Yeah. Another moment I want to chuck in there is, it's actually more of a picture. I don't know if you've seen this picture. It was when Danny Welbeck was playing against Manchester United.
Oh, yeah, with
the first game.
Yeah,
and he missed, you know, all the talk beforehand was, can Danny Welbeck finish?
Yeah.
You know, that's why Man United got rid of him. He threw on goal, missed. It wasn't an easy chance, a difficult chance. Just bobbled wide. He's got his hands on his head. All the crowd behind
him.
Yeah,
that was great.
Oh, amazing.
Fernando Torres returning to Atletico Madrid.
That was pretty nice.
Great moment.
That was nice.
I mean, I know he's sort of petered off since then, but that's That's great. That was a lovely moment. Yeah. AC Milan, weirdly, just went, I mean, AC Milan have had some good moments towards the end of the season. They have some good results.
It's been pretty horrible.
Well, it's been a pretty horrible season. Yeah, Dave. Yeah.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know what your moment of the season was on Twitter.
Trying to think what
else. Front Free. Comment on SoundCloud. Let us know what your sort of, you know, that the defining moment of the previous of the last season.
A defining moment would be Raheem Sterling not signing a deal.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's not, again, it's not a moment where, you know, not like a moment we're seeing.
Was a defining moment of the season. Coming
what
back
was the
to
moment?
City,
yeah. What was the moment you saw?
What's the defining moment of the season?
No. Just like,
okay, can I also can moment. I ask this? Are we doing the summary next week of the best bits of the season?
Probably after the Champions League final, I reckon, because I think that's going to have a big bearing on.
Can I ask a question then? I want people to give us their suggestions for the final review of the season. What's your formation of the season?
God.
What's the formation that finds? Because do you remember a few years ago it was 4-5-1? Everyone was playing 4-5-1. It's not 4-5-1 anymore.
It's 4-2-3-1.
4-2-3-1.
Statistically, that is the most frequent
formation of choice on FIFA as well.
But Dave, what I'm saying here is don't ruin the question before it's even been asked.
Oh, right, I mean, right. Sorry.
Get people to comment, you know, is Allegri with his three at the back? I mean, all those things.
Oh, I like it. Listen, that's all we've got time for this week. Thank you so much for listening to episode 6 of the podcast. Can you believe how far we've come, guys? 6 episodes.
6 weeks. Man.
Where can the good people find more of your work, Lawrence?
Go to lozcast.com, LOZCAST, and I'll see you there.
And
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.